What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Black Expat Podcast. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. For those of you guys who are tuning in live, or for those of you guys who are picking up the post-live production of this podcast, it is now still during election, right? We thought the election would be over 2 days ago, but we do not yet know who the next president of the United States will be. For better or for worse, but it is what it is. So I want to, I didn't know this would be going on. Otherwise, we're talking about different things, but it's okay. We're going to jump right into it. As promised, I promise you guys that through the next upcoming podcast that I will be having, that will be fortunate enough, blessed enough, lucky enough to have some amazing guests on to share their amazing stories from all around the world, right? So the previous podcast you had, which is me talking directly to you guys, but I do want to make sure that I'm able to share the many amazing stories and many amazing people I've been able to meet during my time being here in Taiwan, back in America, and all over the world so far, right? So again, if you are looking for a stress-free place to just listen to stories and share ideas and to get ideas even about things to do around the world, definitely make sure you tune in to the upcoming podcast I have, because I have some more amazing and wonderful guests in store for you guys to be a part of the Black Expat Podcast. So on that note, I do today have an amazing, awesome, wonderful guest that is joining me today all the way from America. I'm not going to lie, I forgot which state she's in, but she'll get on and she'll let us know where she is, what she's doing, and what she has going on in about 5 seconds. So without further ado, I would like to welcome to the Black Expat Podcast, Tian. Tian, would you like to introduce yourself, where you're at, where you're from, and what you have going on currently?
You're terrible. Why did you forget?
I definitely forgot. I'm sorry. I was like, wait, is she in Pittsburgh? Well, to be fair, you do move around a lot. So that's kind of why I forgot, because you've been bouncing around.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Currently, I'm in Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're down in Texas.
Yep. Texas, everything is bigger. Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous. So hey, tell us a little about yourself. What's your name? Where are you from, Tian? And then how did you end up in Texas?
Okay, my name's Tian. I'm from Taiwan. My hometown is Geelong, which where all the great food is at. My husband was a military member, so we moved around a lot. And his family is down here in Austin, Texas. So we just moved here this week, this year, actually.
Okay, so you're originally from Taiwan. I actually also didn't know that you're originally from Geelong, because we met in Taiwan in Taipei. Do you remember how many years ago it was that you and I met in Taiwan?
About 10 years. I was just thinking about that, actually.
Yep, so I met Tian 10 years ago, and I've been in Taiwan for 11 years. So I've known you for the majority of the time I've actually been out here in Taiwan 10 years ago. And just really quick, do you think I'm the...
Danshui, right?
In Danshui. That's like the northern, one of the northernmost parts of Taiwan. Now, do you think I'm the same or different than I was 10 years ago when you first met me? Just really quick, off the top of your head.
Oh, that's fine. I would love to talk about our history. You were definitely way hyper back then, because we used to go to party a lot. We used to party a lot, if you remember, all these Luxie memories and stuff. But now you're like way more chilled. I guess it comes with age.
Huh. Well, thanks, Deanne, for calling me old on my Black Expat Podcast. No, I'm joking. But I mean, I did. I tell people all the time, I said, we used to party Wednesday through Sunday. So sometimes Tuesday.
Yes.
You know, back in my early 20s, 21, 22, 23, we would go to Wing Tuesday, Ladies Night Thursday, Wednesday. Wednesday was get in free somewhere. So Taiwan was a party place for me when I first came, right? And we actually met while out partying at a club.
How many years have you been in Taiwan when I met you?
When we met, it only been, I think, a year and a half. I've been here for a year and a half.
Really? Y'all look like locals. Like, you know all the spots and stuff.
We definitely adapted quickly to the party scene that Taiwan had to offer. I mean, and to be fair, so Tian's going to be very modest, but I will say she was definitely the best, one of the best dancers that that was out here in Taiwan during the time, because no one really danced. So I think we connected because we were one of the only few people that would actually go out and dance. And I think that's one of the things that definitely brought us together was the ability to dance when we actually went out to party.
I missed that time. My legend.
Yes,
you were definitely time.
You were definitely a legendary dancer there. But Christine is on the call. So I don't know if you want to say anything to Christine real quick in English or Chinese. It's up to you. You can say.
Oh, Christine, I love you and I miss you so much.
Also a legendary
dancer. I can't believe. Oh yes, she is.
But without further ado, so you're out and you're originally from Taiwan, Keelung, which is in the north, south, or center of Taiwan.
North, like the northeast. I don't know if I can say northeast. Is that a real word?
The northern, the most northern part.
Yes, yes.
Okay. And what has it been like? What has it been like for you? Because you've been to many places in America. Can you just walk us through where you've lived in America and what it was like living in those places, the time that you've actually lived there and been in the time that you spent there as well?
The first place, I wouldn't say America, but it's like a first place that I started with American culture. It's my husband's first military base is in Okinawa. It's like a small America on base.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first like 1 year and a half, we were in Okinawa and it was really fun. This mixture of Japanese culture and American culture all together. And then because his work order, we moved to New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like 15 minutes away from Philadelphia, that area. And then after he resigned, we moved back to his hometown, Pittsburgh, PA.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And then it's here, Austin, Texas.
So your first time visiting America, was it in New Jersey or had you been to America prior to that?
Before, yes. I think it was back in 2014. It was Houston, mm-hmm. Texas.
So when the first time you went to America, like the experience, right? Because you're from Taiwan. What was it like? Was it everything you dreamed it would be? Was it culturally what you thought it would be? Or was it like, what was the feeling of being home in America like for you? Oh, sorry, being back in America like for you?
It like the first time it was like amazing. Like I see everything. I was like, wow, this plaza is so big. And it was first time for me to go into Walmart. And at that time, I think Walmart is legit, you know? I was like, oh, Walmart, everything's so cheap. I got like three mascara for like $3 and stuff like that. I was really surprised. I was like a fresh off the boat, like a little Asian girl in a big world.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of feeling. But that time I didn't get to experience this enough because I wasn't able to drive. I was pretty much like on vacation, but doesn't move much.
So for you, is there a difference or has it been a difference for you? Or can you walk us through the difference between visiting America and how you live there full time now, right? Because now you can drive. Now you know the difference between Walmart and other places. So what has it been like?
Oh, hell,
the difference between being a visitor and being a full-time resident where you now are a citizen of the United States?
Of course, like visiting, you get more like a vacation vibe and you think this is just a place that you stay for like a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and eventually you will go back to Taiwan. So you just want to experience as many things as you can back then. But now since I have been living here for about like 5 years now, I wouldn't say the life is boring. But it's definitely more planned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some stuff that surprises me daily, probably. Just how people work, how people interact with each other, stuff like that still surprise me. And some parts are annoying, of course.
For example,
customer service take forever to pick up to talk to a real person.
Okay.
In Taiwan, everything is more, I would say, more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree.
Yeah, dealing with Taiwanese customer support is just fast, and they solve the problem. They wouldn't, if they're not sure about something, they wouldn't tell you, this is how you do, and then you figure that's all wrong. They will tell you, I don't know about this, but let me figure it out, and I'll tell you the correct answer. But in the States, I don't know, that annoys me a lot. A lot of people, like the customer service, they don't really care about your problem. You know, they can't really get what you're frustrated with. Mm-hmm. So they just, give you some kind of answer and hang up the phone. Yeah.
I can see that. And that's one thing I always talk about being in Taiwan, right? It's that Taiwan is one of the nicest places. Taiwanese people are some of the nicest people I've ever met. And my experiences here have always been really, really positive and really, really good, even with things like customer service or just walking along the street. But it's sometimes, or more times than not, I would say, from my experience, different in America, right? How we interact and how we communicate. So have you ever been in a situation where you were trying to get your point across or you were trying to get something done and you were like, man, if I was in Taiwan, not just customer service, but anything else, if I was in Taiwan, this would be a lot easier. Why is it so difficult here? Like, have you had any of those moments where you were just like, man, why is it so difficult? I wish this was easier. I want to go back to Taiwan. Have you had any of those moments?
Tons of those moments. For real. I still remember. Oh my God. I still remember the first phone call that I made to a bank here. I was extremely nervous. I couldn't understand what they're talking about. And I feel stupid. To be honest, I feel like my English was good enough to like have daily conversation and stuff like that. But that time, I really feel stupid.
And like, why was that? Was it because of how she was speaking to you, or was it just the way in which you guys were interacting with one another?
It's like, because they're professionals, I guess. Because so they speak really fast, or if they have like a Southern accent, or different kind of, maybe she's Indian. I don't know. A lot of customer service here are Indians. Or Filipinos, different time zone, probably. It's just, and the way they're speaking, include a lot of professional words, like the vocabulary we wouldn't learn in school in Taiwan. So I had to like really ask like, hey, can you repeat that again? What does that mean? And I feel the customer service, the representative was really like impatient. Like, she had to explain those words to me. And I literally have to say, I'm sorry, I'm an immigrant. Like, I'm sorry, I'm from Taiwan. English is not my mother language. Would you please explain to me? And I feel so bad doing that. Yeah, but now it's like less and less and less now since it's been 5 years, more experiences and stuff. But in the beginning, I was really frustrated, to be honest.
So like, does your experience living there, again, like your early experiences living in America from Taiwan, does that help you kind of relate more or understand more the American expat experience in Taiwan, right? So I know when I came to Taiwan the very first time, I went to a bank, but I was accompanied by someone because I knew for a fact, again, I speak relatively good Chinese, not fluent, but relatively good, but I did not understand anything that they were trying to tell me at the bank when I had to get my bank account set up and then about withdrawing money and how in Taiwan you have to have 18 different passwords just to give you one piece of paper. I have no idea why. You need 11,000 passwords just to withdraw money, but whatever. Did you find yourself understanding, relating more to the experience that people may have when they went back to Taiwan through your own experiences being in America, as an immigrant? That's one that's not a native speaker, as you mentioned earlier.
Yes, definitely. But I do have one question for you. when you first moved to Taiwan, do you feel frustrated or do you feel like people are not as kind to you when it comes to the situation, like you have to ask someone for a favor or ask them to explain something to you?
Well, I think that that may be, and now that I think about it, I think that may be a subtle difference, is that everyone was always kind and patient. The difference is in Taiwan, if I was doing something and someone did not, and they didn't speak English, and they only spoke Chinese, and we couldn't understand one another, they would then go and find someone who spoke English, right, to then come and help me. And this was 11 years ago when there wasn't Google Translate and all these things you can pull up on your phone now. But I think in America, like, again, I don't know very many people outside of myself in America that speak Chinese. So if you were talking to me in English and you spoke Chinese, I don't think I would be able to go and say, oh, give me 1 second, let me find someone who speaks Chinese.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Can help, you know.
And you can only find people speak Spanish around here.
Right. Yeah, it's like Spanish, yes, absolutely. But Chinese, maybe not. In Chicago, probably. You maybe could find someone if you're in the right area. But I think that's the biggest difference when I think about it. It's like, you know what, in Taiwan, English is an encouraged language. So you're more likely to find someone who speaks English here than in America finding someone who speaks Chinese that's able to help you with what you need to be helped with at that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
So I definitely feel like if I could choose, yes, America is definitely, I'm sorry, Taiwan is more, they're nicer in regards to finding you help. And also the difference is, correct me if I'm wrong from your experience, in Taiwan, when they look at me as a Black man, you automatically assume or know that I am a foreigner. In America, even though you are Asian from Taiwan, they'd be like, maybe you are. They don't necessarily assume away that you
maybe aren't. You're probably ABC,
exactly.
You know. But I don't know. I've been in this situation, like people look at me like, why are you in this area?
Mm-hmm.
I think at that moment, I feel more related to you being in Taiwan or you being in the countryside of Taiwan and you're like a whole new face they've never seen before.
And that is the question you get a lot. It's like, hey, like, why are you? They're not like, hey, how are you? They're like, hey, how are you? But why are you here, though? Because are you lost? And like,
right.
Yeah.
Now I've like that moment, I feel more. I feel I understand more about the racist part. if I can say, are we allowed to talk about racism in this podcast?
Absolutely. Definitely.
Okay. So okay, my husband asked me, because the first time I took my husband home to see my parents, and the area I live in, Geelong, is like, there's not many foreigners. Not many. And when we were walking on the street, all the neighbors are looking at my husband like, wow, his skin is so dark. Why is he here? Oh my God, he's so tall. Who is this? Like everybody I wouldn't say it's a bad kind of stare.
Mm-hmm.
It's not friendly, but it's not bad.
Yeah. Like, you know? It's not a welcoming stare. Again,
it's not a welcoming stare. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So when I first moved here and we've been to like areas that's only white, or like more countryside, it's definitely more white, like white. They do stare at me like, why are you in this area? Even the first time when I went to Houston, we've been to the Southern Houston, and I think it's more Black.
Mm.
And when I went into a subway, they definitely gave me that not welcoming stare.
Right.
Be like, why is this Asian girl in this area? Especially when they see me with a Black boyfriend.
And you know what? That's actually very interesting because, you know, I've dated Taiwanese women since I've been here. And I did take my ex-girlfriend. We went back to America together. But, you know, we're in Chicago, just so different because there is a really big Asian population in Chicago, and we also went to Chinatown a few times because the food's good there, not gonna lie. But yeah. But we went during the winter time, and you know, you're all bundled up, and it's really hard to tell. I mean, you can tell a little bit, but it's really hard to tell, you know, where you're from, what you're looking at. So I didn't really encounter that aspect of it as I would have. I feel like if it was the summertime where, you know, you're wearing less clothing and like you can kind of see fully what you are. And like, if I'm walking out to you with my Asian girlfriend and we're holding hands, like I wonder if I would have gotten those same stares as well. So based on your experiences so far, if you had to choose, which one do you enjoy, all of the negative things aside for both countries, which one would you mm-hmm. enjoy living in the more, the USA or in Taiwan?
So far, I would say that I would still prefer in the US.
Oh, really? Why?
But I don't know in the future because I feel less and less and less passionate mm-hmm. about living in the US.
So like now when you say the US, why do you specifically choose the US right now at this point in time?
I would say probably because the opportunities. I would say that I can do more in the US than Taiwan, in my opinion. It is easier to make things happen here in the US than Taiwan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I worked in Taiwan before, and I feel like opportunities are not as much, and I feel less achieved in Taiwan. If I'm still in Taiwan now, I would never think about like purchasing a car or purchasing a house, you know, because I would feel like that's like impossible. For a car, you don't really need a car. You got metro, you got bus, you got all this public transportations that you can use. It's super convenient. You can walk to anywhere. But I always wanted a car. And this is the dream car that I got here already for myself. And I love it. And in Taiwan, you wouldn't think about purchasing a house. Most Taiwanese, they earn like the whole life salary, probably not enough to purchase a one-bedroom apartment in Taipei City. If you want convenient, if you want the location, right? Even in Taichung, where you're living now, the real estate market's going like growing super fast. It's ridiculous. I even did research before because my sister actually moved to Taichung, and we're thinking about like getting my parents a house in Taichung and stuff like that. It's pretty much impossible. So I feel like being here, I can do more, and I'm closer, way closer to the life that I imagine that I want. Having my own space, having a decent job, having a car that I've dreamed of, stuff like that.
So when you say,
is it interesting to you? You sound unbelievable.
Right, because I mean, so this is actually interesting because my perspective on culturally here, being here for so long, is that most people that I know in Taiwan, I won't say everyone, they all work towards they're all about saving money, and they're all saving money so that they can buy a house. But it sounds like, but I also understand how expensive buying a house is. Also, that my salary is different than a standard Taiwanese salary. Being a foreigner here, when I say my teaching salary is a little bit higher than the normal salary would be here. So, but also I'm also American. So I know how much it costs to buy a house in America, and it's also expensive, except the system for acquiring loans and stuff to get housed in America seems easier of that than doing so in Taiwan, based on what you're saying. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Cause I do agree. I've lived in Taiwan for 11 years and I never bought a car. I never even thought about buying one. I have a bar. You really don't need one because it's more expensive to have one than it is to not have one. You know what I mean? So, but in America, I absolutely would have a car. I absolutely would have a house. So what makes it harder in Taiwan for you to do those things? Is it only the salary, or is it more than just the salary that you guys get paid that makes it harder for you to get a house?
I think it's the salary, of course, definitely, and the space. you wouldn't be able to get the size of the apartment that you want with your salary, because everybody wants to buy a house in a great location. And in Taiwan, if it's not a great location, you have to commute way longer. The traffic is worse in Taiwan. And in the the first time I've been to the States, the first time I realized, oh, traffic, when they talk about traffic, it's not like the traffic that I understand in Taiwan, the way it is. Traffic in Taiwan means they don't move at all. But traffic in the US means they move slowly, maybe still 40 miles an hour. They call it traffic.
That's not true. I mean, unless, I'm not going to lie, unless you go to Atlanta, because I know people in Atlanta. Atlanta traffic is the whole different.
In the city, it's different. Philadelphia, the same too.
Because I know I've been in Chicago traffic where I want to throw a rock at somebody. But yeah, I do understand, like spatially wise, all over America, traffic is very, very different. Like it does depend on where you are. Where in Taiwan, I know Taichung traffic, when you're trying to leave at 5 o'clock and you're on the road, you're gonna sit. It's a standstill for about 2.5 hours, and it's crazy trying to get home.
Yeah, you sit there
and do nothing.
So like you also mentioned, like, the lifestyle that you wanted. So what is the lifestyle that you wanted, and how have you been able to accomplish that by living in America?
I feel like, let's go back to like, it's easier to achieve something that you want in the States. Also, the credit score, as long as you have a great credit score, you pretty much can do anything. Getting a loan is easier, monthly payments less, all this stuff, right? I used to love watching all this American TV shows and movies and stuff. And I always dream about having your own house, two-story house with, I always love Jeep. I don't know why, but I don't BMW, Audi. I don't like those, but I love Jeep for some reason. I was like, oh, I want a Jeep so bad, So the first full-time job that I got, I went out there and purchased a Jeep. And I was like, yes, I finally have a car that I love. And this year we actually bought a two-story house. Yes, I finally bought a house that I seen in the movie that I want. You know, I would say it is kind of bad to say that. I do miss my friends and family. I wish I can be here with them. You know, I still love going out with my friends and talk about like bullshitting around, stuff like that. But I would say I'm a little more selfish. I want the material life that I want. And being in the States, actually, it's easier for me to achieve those. If it makes sense.
Yes. I mean, and like, to be honest, like that makes perfect sense. Because, I mean, for me... And I'll just show the opposite. For me, I grew up living in a three-story houses, and I grew up in the American experience. When I come here to Taiwan, and I live in, well, okay, to be honest, ever since my first house I lived in Taiwan was a dorm that the school gave me. My second house was maybe it was a two-bedroom apartment, but it was pretty big. And then, Tian, you saw our third house. It was like a four bedroom with a hot tub on the balcony, and I had it was actually kind of tough. So like, and I've made it a point to ever since I lived in Taiwan. But also the difference is the community that I lived in, it was close to where I worked, and there were just big houses being built, and the real estate market was new. And as a single person who doesn't have a car, I had the income to buy a bigger space to live in. So I've always had the luxury. Excuse me, except for the first year here in Taichung, where I had a very small house. Like right now, I have I have a 5-story house. So it's just different.
Five-story house.
Well, yeah, because the bar has 6 floors. Yeah, so we actually live in where a bar is. So like we have like 6 floors. So it's pretty cool. It's expensive as hell, but it's pretty cool. but yeah. I think, but before I had like the big spaces, I didn't really appreciate the smaller spaces and like making do with the space that you have. It taught me how to pack a lot of different things. So as much as I love, you know, American, like big house and a big yard, one, I don't know if you cut grass, but I cut grass. I'm cool off that. Yeah, you can hire somebody cutting grass. Right? I hated it. And growing up, we had this big ass yard. I hated cutting grass. So I'm like, you know what? If I ain't got to cut grass, I'll live in an apartment. If my apartment's big and I got a bathtub and my family can live comfortably.
Yeah, I'm your cool. Third apartment was like legit.
Yeah, it was, and that's the kind of living I want to have. 4-bedroom house.
I've seen the second one and the third one though.
They were the third one was pretty big too. It was 4 bedrooms and it was only me and Patrick living there. So we have 4 bedrooms right. And we had like a sunroom for plants and stuff. We were weird. But we always had enough space. So for me, it was always just been about space.
Y'all and think Taiwan, that was weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. We had 4 bedrooms, only 2 of us. And that kind of was made it cool. So, hey, we got this 4-bedroom apartment. If anyone wants to come visit, you have your own bedroom. So, I mean,
right.
No, it is what it is. But, yeah. That's cool. Are you, do you have your drink next to you? I'm drinking gin and whatever Patrick put in this drink, tonic. I think it's a tonic.
Whatever Patrick put in this drink. Yeah. I have Japanese umeshu.
Ooh, that sounds fancy. Did you bring that from Japan when you lived there?
No. Every place I live in, I always if I visit that city the first time, I always go out there and find the best Asian market ever first.
Ah, really?
Without Asian market, I can. Is it interesting?
Yeah. So, like, do you find yourself still cooking Asian style dishes when you're home in America, or do you only eat American style food?
You know what's interesting? I eat more Asian cuisines here than I was in Taiwan.
That is interesting. Why is that? Is it because you miss it and you make it, or?
It's like I don't. So in Taiwan, because you live in Taiwan, Asian cuisines are just everywhere. Mom makes it. Out there, just so much like night market and stuff that you can buy anytime. So you go out to eat like Chili's and Outback Steakhouse and all that stuff in Xinyi area a lot. Mm-hmm. But in the States, it's like American food is everywhere. So you missed the home taste more. So you kind of like my cooking skill is actually like booming to the sky since I moved here, because I forced myself to make the dishes that I love in Taiwan myself.
So you have an American husband. When you're cooking these dishes, are you eating them only, or is he also eating them, or are you cooking 2 separate meals for 2 separate people?
2 separate meals for 2 really? Separate people, yes.
What?
Some dishes he love, like, you know, like salmon or like fried spinach, of course.
Hey, fried spinach be like hidden.
Cheesy broccoli.
Hold on real quick. I'm going to let you finish. But if you guys have never had Asian fried spinach, please taste it. It is amazing. I think it's called Kong Xing Tai in Chinese. I think I said it right. But man, I eat it every chance I go to a restaurant. If they have it on the menu, I'm getting it.
It's very interesting.
Delicious it's green vegetables. The best one I've ever had. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
The first time my husband trying to cook a meal for me, he opened his cabinet and bring out a can of greens.
Mm.
Like the spinach, the greens. And I look at that and I give him that really evil stare. Like, I don't eat that shit. I was like, oh my God. Because he opened it and he poured it out into a bowl. And I look at it, I was like, that looks like no. I'm sorry to people who, you know, love greens, but that looks not very tasty for me.
Mm. Okay, well,
and, yeah.
So for everybody who eats, so first of all, if you eating greens out the cans, you ain't eating real greens. Greens, but all my black people listen to the Black Expat Podcast. I'm not gonna let us shoot down greens like that. Greens are delicious if made correctly. Greens, you have to get them, you have to clean them, then you have to cook them. If they come from a can, it's not real greens. Greens are homemade from scratch. Like you pick the grains yourself, you clean them, you put them in a pot, and it's delicious. And it is better than the Kongxing Tai we're talking about, the Asian grains. But yes, grains are delicious. I don't know if he's made them for you from scratch, but don't judge them until you eat them not out of a can, because that's not how they're supposed to be properly made. I'm just letting you know that.
Sorry.
But yeah, I know. I'm not offended. I understand everybody has different taste buds, but grains.
Yeah.
If you like green vegetables, you cannot help. You cannot not like greens because they're delicious.
I'm a really texture eater. So when I see it looks like that, I automatically like, oh, I don't want to try. But I made my fried spinach for him, he never bought the canned greens ever.
You should have been canned greens. I think freshly made food is always better. Canned greens, nah. That is not. If I do end up, if I marry an Asian woman, the first green she's going to have is going to come from my mama or my sister or me. And it's not going to be from a can, I'll tell you that much.
I do learn fried chicken from my mother-in-law. Oh, her fried chicken is the most delicious ever.
It melts in your mouth and not in your hand, doesn't it? It's just something about a black woman and fries. I don't know what it
crispy
is.
Crispy from the outside, juicy in the inside, and it's well-seasoned. My God. I tried to make it myself. The way she taught me, it's never going to be the same.
Yeah, can't get it.
I don't understand why. Yeah.
And that is a mother's love. Y'all hear that right there? That is a mother's love and a mother's touch in the kitchen. I've tasted many of foods, but ain't nothing like the way my mama make it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But yeah, whew, man, you got me all hungry over here. Got me missing the
meg.
I'll send you some Shaolong Bao. Shaolong Bao is fried. It's dumpling jiao. It's delicious dumplings.
Yes.
If you send me some collard greens or turnip greens or mustard greens. If you don't know what that is, Google it. They're amazing. But yeah, so a lot about America. You co-host a podcast. Can you talk to us about what your podcast is, the title of it, and what the focus of it is?
Yeah, our podcast, it's hosted by Kelly and I. Kelly is a friend that I met here. She's also a Taiwanese girl, and we're the same age. But we grew up in, of course, different family, different background. The way she lived here and the way I live here is totally different. She was a student here, and now she's doing OPT, I guess that's what I call it. It's like a working visa after you graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently holding the permanent resident card because I'm married, obviously. So we have a lot of different opinions
experiences
and thoughts and stuff, and we just want to share how we think about stuff, and we also share the experience that we encounter in America as a Taiwanese girl, Asian girl, or immigrant. A lot of things to us, it's surprising, it's annoying, it's amazing. We want to share that. We also want to target a group of people that want to move to the States or maybe move to another country. I know a lot of friends moved to Australia. Like the stuff that you might encounter or the skills that you want to learn before you head out there, maybe. We want to share those stuff. And we want to give people a relaxed kind of vibe to listen to a podcast and not, you don't have to think so much, and we want to laugh about it. Every time we record, it's drinks and food on the table. We just, relax and just two friends talking about random stuff. Our podcast name is Girls on the Way, and it's currently on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Anchor, all this stuff. We also have the video version on YouTube. It's just me and her keep drinking and being crazy. Yeah.
I didn't know you guys had a YouTube. I'll definitely check out the YouTube. I've already listened.
Our parents watch it on YouTube.
So you do your podcast in English or Chinese, or is it a mix of both?
It's in Chinese, but because we live here for so long, sometimes when we talk to each other, it's mixed like Taiwanese and Chinese and English.
Oh, so you do Taiwanese too. So your Taiwanese is really good.
My Taiwanese is not so good, to be honest. Yeah. But some words, because in English, some words are not, let's say this, in English and in Chinese, of course, there are still some words that we cannot express accurately. So we're trying to use the best expression for that, you know.
Feeling that, or emotion that you guys
that
have.
That feeling or, yeah, whatever it is. So my sister actually told me when we mix English in a Chinese sentence, it sounds very fake, like you're trying to be American, something like that. But we were like, it's not, we don't do it on purpose. It just came out like that. For example, last time I went back to Taiwan, I ordered like a breakfast in McDonald's, like waffles or pancakes and stuff. And I would like some syrup. And I just couldn't, like at that time, I couldn't think of what's syrup in Chinese.
Oh.
So I can't help myself to say, hey, can you give me like some syrup, you know? But I don't do it on purpose. Maybe some people would think like, oh, you're not even American, but you're trying to talk like American. And it's, I don't know. I don't know how to explain this, but I'm just going to say this. We do what we do. If you don't like, whatever, I don't care. But if you love us and you want to laugh with us, you want to listen to our podcast and share all this experience and craziness, welcome to Girls on the Way.
But no, like I totally understand like the language thing, because I was on the phone with customer service the other day, American customer service. And all of a sudden I was talking and I switched to Chinese. I don't know why I switched to Chinese. I was like, yeah, nah, and I was like, wait a second, that's not the right language. And they're on the phone, they were like, what'd you say? And I'm like, I'm so sorry, I'm in Taiwan, I converted to Chinese. And even today I was at the night market in Taichung, and I was talking to my friend. Someone texts me in Chinese on my, and I saw it on my watch, but I was in the middle of a conversation, and I immediately, while I was talking, switched from English to Chinese. And she was just looking at me like, what are you even talking about right now? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. She doesn't speak Chinese. I'm like, my bad. I switched languages without even knowing I did it. So yeah, I absolutely
that
understand.
I did that with my husband too. I was like, hey, ni kabu kai, da, 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 da. And then my husband was like, I don't know what the fuck are you saying? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Can you please put that away?
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you're talking, you're like, nah, well, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit, did I just say nah? So, I mean, it's very interesting. Actually, there is someone, really quick, can you just give us a 30-second introduction to your podcast in Chinese? There are few people aren't listening to the call right now that speak Chinese. If you don't, you can fast forward 30 seconds past this part. But can you just introduce your podcast in Chinese for the audience really quickly?
Yes. Hi, 大家好。我是 Tian， 然后我的 partner 是 Kelly。我们最近在做一个新的 podcast 叫 Girls on the Way， 然后我们分享了很多台美不同的地方，然后身为台湾女生在美国，有一些特别的经验或者是一些不太好的经验，各种我们在这边生活的酸甜苦辣，是一个很轻松，然后也有时候我朋友说蛮好笑的一个 podcast， 希望大家可以支持我们在 Apple Podcast、Google Podcast、Spotify 和 YouTube 上面都有。我们也有 IG， 请你搜寻 Girls on the Way _GOTW。谢谢。
All right, and guess what, y'all?
Right?
Guess what, y'all? I understood most of that. Shout out to me for learning Chinese
good.
So long.
Yay! I didn't know you know a lot of Chinese, to be honest, because we always communicate in English.
That's true. Like, believe it or not, not my ex-girlfriend, my most recent girlfriend, she did not speak English at all, or does not speak English at all. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
Having a girlfriend or a boyfriend is the best way to learn another language.
And you know, when I was younger, people told me, they were like, oh, you only got a girlfriend so you can learn Chinese for free. But then, you know, my, do you remember my ex-girlfriend, Ivy?
Seven years.
And she was like, she was like, you were the best, excuse me, you were the best free English teacher ever. And I was like, oh God, sorry. And I felt some kind of way. I was like, man, what you mean I was the best free English teacher? But her English got so good because she did not speak Chinese with me. For the most part, we only spoke in English.
It's a compliment. Not every foreign boyfriend can do that, though. It depends, for real. Like my first foreign boyfriend, he was really good at teaching English. Like, I can ask him anything, and he will use the simple, the easiest English to explain that word for me to understand that. So it gives me, like, deeper impression of that word, and I learn fast. Compared to my husband, he is not good at teaching me English at all. It depends. So lucky for her, got you.
Well, yeah, and I definitely know that, like, being a teacher out here in Taiwan definitely helped me with being able to
Patrick, your dream is too strong.
No, it wasn't. No, someone's listening. They text me. They were like, "Oh, I thought I understood until you guys stopped speaking English." But I think me being a teacher out here definitely helped with me being able to teach her, like, English. Because also I just have the patience of teaching people who weren't native speakers or speaking Chinese. Speaking English. So I really understand when I say certain sentences a certain way, why someone wouldn't understand it and how I need to change the way I'm speaking to kind of help them follow it. But also just patience with teaching. Like, I can only imagine some people who maybe don't have that patience, but love someone, but like, you know what? I just can't. I don't have that patience. Like, I do understand how difficult it can be sometimes. Because I know, you know, my girl who doesn't speak English, sometimes, you know, I get frustrated. I'm like, man, I just wish I could just say this in English, because you're not going to understand this emotion unless I say it in my native language. And I feel like it's the same on the other side. So that's why communication is just so important. Right. Really, really important. So what made you guys decide to even want to start a podcast?
Just the other day we were listening to, I don't know if, I think a lot of Taiwanese audience would heard about this podcast before. It's called Sisters Talk Show. It's a celebrity, Melody, and her manager, I think. They were just two women, like 40 up, two women talking about random stuff, like kids, like life, like girl, like how women think about stuff, and maybe some news. And they use a really, like, funny way to talk about stuff, and it just cracks me up. And I was talking about that with Kelly. I was like, hey, I think we should do that too, because I have a lot of thoughts and experience that I want to share, no matter who it is. I need an outlet, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to speak it out, and if somebody learned something from that, I'll feel, you know, great. But even if we're just like drinking and laughing and talk about stuff, I think that's something meaningful to do. So too, she's very outgoing, and she's very she's kind of like an influencer on Instagram. She has a lot of positive thinking vibes to share. She's like, why talking about it? Let's do it.
Right.
Yeah. So we just started the first one, and I was so nervous. I literally had to have like a lot of drinks before I start, and I was like sweaty all the time. Yeah. And it was really cool. We want to be like them, to be honest, to give out a lot of perspective that people usually don't think of, or if somebody wants to find like a solution of something that people don't normally talk about. We want to share our thoughts to maybe inspire people to have their own way out, if that makes sense.
And that is something, well, there's a few things. There's one a lot of people don't really understand about podcasts is that they are really difficult to do. I mean, having, especially even if you're talking to someone, right? So the majority of my podcast has been me talking to myself, but not talk to myself, but speaking to myself in a room, but, and then, and I'm pretending as if someone is there engaging with me, right? And sometimes my podcast can be as short as 30 minutes or as long as an hour, but that takes a lot of preparation, a lot of time, and a lot of knowing how to keep a conversation going with no one there. And then when someone else is there, it's like, man, the pressure of you having to hold up the end of the conversation, make sure that they're being heard, and make sure that you're getting your point across clearly, make sure you guys are, more importantly, having a good time. It's tough. So I've interviewed people who've gotten on the podcast and said, like, man, I didn't realize I was going to be this nervous on the podcast. I thought it was going to be easy just like talking. Yes. But it's not as simple as just talking. It's like, I have to, you want to sound good, and you want to make sure you say everything you need to say, and you don't want to be misquoted and things like that. So it is very, very difficult.
I would say yours is more difficult.
Well, I mean, I think from doing it is, here's what I will say. For me, whenever I get on the microphone, I want to talk by myself. At the beginning, it was hard. I used to write everything down. Now I write down bullet points and I can just go from those because I'm speaking from the heart and all my nerves are gone because I've been doing it for a long time now. Interviews are harder, believe it or not, because sometimes people, they don't, like, you have to carry the conversation for them. You have to make sure you ask good questions. You have to make sure you give them time to respond. And if the interview is boring and you know that it is, you have to shift the direction. So there's a lot of, you have to be more attentive when doing interviews because you want the person you're interviewing to be happy, but you also know, you have to know your audience, right? I know what my audience wants to hear. They don't want to be bored. They don't want to hear things that they've heard before. They want to hear something different. They want to know why they should listen to a podcast with the person I'm interviewing, right? And you have to bring that out through your interview. So it is, podcasting is challenging. But the good thing is, one, I do drink during most of my things. I don't drink a lot beforehand, but I have like a beer on the side, or like now I'm drinking gin and whatever Patrick put in here, or I'll have like a glass of Jameson as I'm going through it. It's just to loosen yourself up a little bit. Also, because you get thirsty and you talk a lot, you get thirsty. Yeah. Sometimes taking a gulp of juice is too much when you're talking to yourself.
I feel like your podcast is more difficult because you're doing like interviews and stuff, and you literally have to prepare a lot of information if you want to talk about specific things. We want to head to that direction in the future, but right now we're just sharing what's in our memory. Like, what have we done here, and what happened recently, and what's ridiculous for me, stuff like that. And we're like talking to each other, so there's no like gap, because we're friends, so we just keep on talking. And also you do live.
Oh yeah, live shows.
Yeah, we don't. We can literally edit it, the gap that we probably space out or something, but you can't.
And I don't. And those of you that listen to the podcast, you've heard me in the middle of streets. I don't edit things. And you know why?
Respect.
I would not have started doing live. I've only started doing live after my 100th episode because I had 100 times of practice. You know what I mean? So like I know even if it sounds bad, it's still going to be authentically me. And I'll get to a point where I make enough money to have somebody go in and edit my live show. But until I get there, I'm not going to be doing that. Thank you very much. But yeah, I mean, it's like, do you remember your very first podcast? Like, do you remember when you recorded it? I know you touched on a little bit, but like, what was it like? Yeah. Was it easy? Was it difficult? And what did you feel like after you finished the very first podcast that you made?
I wouldn't say it was difficult. I would say I was really nervous and really awkward. I didn't think, and I still don't think that my voice is for a podcast, for a public audience. It's not, definitely not a very, how do I say this? So, Huayin, popular, not very popular voice. You know, some people's voice are really like dramatic. It has the up and downs.
Yeah.
And, you know, like people people love their voice. It's like natural podcast or radio-ish voice. My voice is not like that. I don't think people's gonna like how I talk, especially, so my partner Kelly has really positive vibes. And I have more like a little bit negative. I have more realistic thinking of the way of thinking. So it was in the beginning, I was doubting if I can continue after the first episode, to be honest, if Kelly, you're listening. I was really awkward. I still couldn't dare to listen to my own podcast now after I record, after it's on Apple Podcasts. Yeah, it's not difficult, but it's very, it's a mixture of feelings, awkward, nervous, fun. Yeah, it's a little fun because I always want to try new things. But yeah, that was how I feel the first time.
Well, here's what I will say, because you know me and Patrick, obviously, and my very first podcast and experience was with him. It was Six Packs with Expats, and how we got through those podcasts. You remember that, right? We would go through a six pack of beer each, and you know, we started the podcast off coherent and laughing and joking, and throughout the podcast, we would get drunk, and it would turn into something that was crazy. Whenever me and Patrick get drunk in podcasts, it's always a good time. Because it goes in where we never thought it would go. But I think it's always good, especially if you have those feelings. Because I think, first, your voice doesn't matter, honestly. As long as you have that energy. Yeah, no matter what energy you bring. Like, some people have radio voice. People have told me, like, man, you have a really good voice for radio. And I'm like, But I've also heard people whose voices I hate and are super annoying that I hear. But I listen to them because of the content. So as long as your content is good, then no need to worry about what your voice sounds like or how other people perceive your voice to be. That doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's all about content. And again, I think the element of realism is so important, right? So I'll use me and Patrick as an example. He's over the top and he's creative and like all that imaginary stuff. And I always brought that realism that, all right, let me bring us back down to earth. And it's not necessarily negative. It's just more guided and more like, hey, what you're saying is funny and cool, but I'm going to hit y'all with some real shit right now. You know what I mean?
Me and Kelly's are like that too. Like, Kelly's the creative part. And I'd be like, this is not real.
It's like, oh, what you said was cool. However, let me give you guys a more realistic.
If anybody heard our last podcast, it's about long distance relationship. And she has a totally different thinking of a long distance relationship and how do you maintain it and stuff like that. And I just keep talking shit about long distance relationship. Like, this is shit. We don't want that. And that's for birds. We don't do that.
And you know, right? And that dynamic is so important because me and Patrick, as similar as we are, we're so different. So again, he was all for a long distance relationship at the beginning, and I was like, nah. And then what he had when he was like, nah, I'm not for that. Now I'm like, you know what? I can do long distance now. But again, it's just it's that banter, that back and forth, that differentiating opinion that makes the podcast relatable, because everyone in your audience is not going to think the same as you. So the reason why I love interviews is because
you learn from each other from different perspectives.
Like, doing those interviews, it gives the person who maybe doesn't agree with me that chance to feel like their voice is also there. It's like, hey, yeah, Carl said this, but I didn't agree with it. Patrick said the opposite. I like what he said. I agree. So then they're going to continue listening because they feel like they're represented in what you're saying. So when I do podcasts on my own, just me talking, I try to walk that even keel of playing devil's advocate at the same time. But sometimes it's difficult because it's just me talking to myself, you know? So it's good to have interviews or like a co-host on ever so often to kind of give people that differentiating perspective on things, because you don't agree with everything, right? It's good to just share that. So for your Taiwanese listeners, and even for foreign and Black expat listeners as well, what impact do you hope to have with your podcast? And where do you see your podcast going in the future?
Impact. I don't have that kind of ambition, but I just hope that the audience who listen to our podcast can like laugh so loud and say, oh my God, it's so true. Yeah, I can do that too. That kind of vibe. or even like when we talk about long distance relationship, or even our audience can be like, oh my God, what you said was like, that just happened to me. I can't stand this. You know, we want that kind of, how do you say, gongming? Do you know, like Chinese gongming? It's like you think the same, like you feel empathy.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's empathetic, but it's also relatable.
Yes, feel relatable. Yes, that word. Sorry, it's morning. I'm not totally up yet.
No worries.
But where do I see it going in the future? Of course, we would hope that more people get to know us and share our journey together, if possible, if we become like super popular. Of course, we want it to be, you know, profit. I'm sure you think about that too. If your podcast become famous, like you can do commercial, you can do profit, and I want it to be like a second career that we can, you know, we can keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and I think one of the things that, again, when I first started podcasting, it was very similar to what you guys and you guys' stories. I just wanted to show what I was going through and provide a space for people who are going through similar things or who are thinking about, like you guys said, thinking about living abroad in America and being immigrants. And for me, it was living abroad in Taiwan and being expats and immigrants, you know, to kind of have a venue to kind of hear those stories. And it transformed into something that I want to do full time. I'm doing full time as my job. I'm not at the fully monetized level yet, where I'm making a whole lot of money doing it or just money doing it, but I'm working to get there. But yeah, I mean, that's the podcast I've enjoyed, because I listen to other podcasts too, because you have to learn, right? The best way to learn is by listening to who's doing what you're doing. It's just by listening to others and realizing that they're all genuine and they all have started for a particular reason. I don't like listening to celebrity podcasts because they're fake. I don't like listening to a political podcast because I don't want to hear about that. I like listening to people who are doing real, right, out in the world doing real things that I can relate to. And I know one day you guys are going to have me on your podcast. We're going to do English and Chinese, though, because
that's going to be fun.
I don't think I can keep up with you guys in Chinese, but I can keep up with
you. So you can't stand a political podcast?
It depends on what type. Like if they're talking about proactive things where we're working on solutions, yes. But just talking politics, that's just a waste of time. I want to talk about solutions to things. I don't need to talk about what's going on.
And you know, I'm a really straight person. I'm just going to say this. I can't stand for podcasts who only talk about positive things.
Oh, I see that.
Spiritual. Like, you know, believe in this. You'll work it out. You can do this. You can da-da-da. And it's all positive. And I'm like, no, there's some real things happen out there. You can't be just 100% positive about everything. And
you know, there's that... Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of our audience that listen to My Girls on the Way podcast is that either they have experience living abroad, or they're moving abroad, or they're currently not living in Taiwan, but they're Taiwanese. So I can't be like, okay, living abroad is all positive. It's easy. It's not hard. Because a lot of, I don't know if you can tell, as a Taiwanese girl or just a Taiwanese young generation, you live abroad, and when you went home, all your family be like, oh, you're living in the States now, you're so good, did you make a lot of money, what was your company like, blah 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 blah, like they look up to you.
Yeah.
And that's I don't know if you understand, that's kind of odd. Why do people think if you live abroad, you achieve more, or you're a better grown-ups like that? Kelly and I talk about this all the time. From what our friends and family look at us, it looks brilliant, you know, bright. We have halo on our head, probably. But to us, it's really like difficult. In the beginning, frustrated. a lot of, how do you say, emotion that we can tell our family or friends to, you know, we don't want them to worry. A lot of things are like that and people don't understand. And how much effort we put in here to have the life we want. I would say it's easier to achieve in Taiwan than being in Taiwan, but it's still not easy. You know?
And honestly, that's why like podcasts like yours are really important, right? Because it's different for me and for you, because most of the people that I've known and my friends and things like that, they don't look at, up until now with coronavirus, because Taiwan has handled coronavirus very well, they never really, mm-hmm. I never got the feeling that they viewed me living abroad as being a success, right? Or like, right. They said like, oh, you
why
you're doing
a success.
Yeah, like they don't, like people from Americans, they don't really view me living abroad as six. They're like, oh, like it's cool that you live abroad, but no, and they're always like, when are you coming home? Or when are you gonna make it back to America? Or when are you gonna come back and get a real job? And I'm like, well, you know, I have a real career here. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I have a good lifestyle. But I know, mm-hmm. for Taiwanese people, because you know, I've been a teacher here, all their parents are like, I want my kids to go to America and be successful. And it's almost as if to say that, right? You know, like, oh, they can't be equally successful in Taiwan. It's like, no, if they're in America, then it's even better. And like, even parents whose kids studied abroad in America and come back, they're like, yeah, they lead with that. They're like, my son or my daughter studied in, mm-hmm. America and, yes. came back. And they say
my
it as if it's like,
in the States, yeah, doing something.
Or it's like in Australia or in like, or in any English speaking country, it's like, yeah, like they're doing so well. And people out here, you know, they spend a lot of money, a lot of their savings and investments on sending them to different countries. And that's huge, right? Whereas in America, like, you know, I studied abroad. I paid for that myself, right? Like, and it was like, oh yeah, you went out of the country, but you came back because America is the best country in the world. So it is, like I said, it is very interesting, again, culturally, how different it is for us. Whereas me being out here, it's cool. It's even cooler now because coronavirus, but it isn't seen as a success as much from my experience by that many, mm-hmm. people. But from, yeah. a Taiwanese perspective, it is seen, you are successful because you did make it in America. I will say, my opinion, I could be wrong. I do, based on what you said, it is harder for you to be successful in America than I feel like, mm-hmm. it is for foreigners to be of success here in Taiwan, right?
How do you define success, though? That's something that I can never understand. Like, how do you define success when people talk about success? What is success?
If you look at it, I think for the majority of people, and I'm going to speak majoritively, I think for every individual, it is different. But when people think about that, from people that they don't know very well, I think it's just money, right? So when I say it's easy for a foreigner to be successful here, I'm literally saying, I'm speaking majoritively. I'm literally, yeah. saying it's easier for a foreigner to make more money here, period, than it is for an immigrant to go to America and make more money. That's what I'm talking about when I say success. And I think that's factual in some ways, depending, right. on what you do before you go. But I think for the most part, I can get a better living faster here in Taiwan as a foreigner than a foreigner, yes. could, depending on your profession, if you go to America. If you're a doctor, obviously, there's different,
yeah.
wages there. But just a regular job, my regular job here puts me at a certain level in Taiwan than it does in America. And I think that's fair to say.
Right.
So if I had to measure success, I think that would be it.
I think success is you live the life you want. If you, absolutely. Get to live the life you want, you're successful. Yay! Shout out. To all the successful people.
Hey, that's everybody. I guess you know me. I'm trying to be an entrepreneur. Well, I am an entrepreneur, actually. So yeah. So Tian, this
doing
is
a regular job, and I feel successful.
You ain't never lying. And when I was teaching, I felt successful too. Then I got tired of kids because, you know, kids are.
Kids are fun. I used to be, yeah. English, mm-hmm. teacher too, and it was fun.
Yeah, for about 30 minutes.
I was younger kids. Nah.
30 minutes.
You just don't like kids.
I'm glad you see all my real friends know. Then y'all know how I feel about it. Y'all know I love them, but I don't like them, and that's fair to say. That's also why I ain't got.
What do your girlfriend think about that?
You know, we'll circle back to that at some point. But this is the point of the podcast where you can ask me questions. Do you have any questions for me, Tian?
You want to talk about COVID?
Oh yeah, we could touch on that. What's it been like before we get to questions about me? What's it been like being away from family during COVID? And which country would you prefer to be in at the moment?
I want to be in Taiwan during COVID, to be honest. If I can, because I'm currently working from home since like the end of February. It's been half a year already. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So if I could, I really love to bring my computer home and just live in Taiwan during, you know, during COVID. In the beginning of the COVID, it is kind of like the city is kind of dead. Like it's like everybody's quarantined and shut down and all that stuff. It is kind of funny in the beginning of the COVID when US is not very, there's not much attention on this thing yet when Taiwan has a lot of cases. I actually went around and buy all the masks. I sent home about like 600 masks to my family. And then because at that time it was a shortage in Taiwan, right? Like the masks. And then Taiwan just handled it so well. Shout out to my hometown. It's so like, I'm so proud of Taiwan. Like Taiwan handled it so well. And then in the States, it just boom, all the cases, all the high numbers and all the stuff. My mom actually sent back that 600 masks back to me.
Yeah.
So I can use it. Unfortunately, like I couldn't head home. In June, my grandpa passed away. So, and at that time it was like a chaos in the States that all the flights were canceled and not many flights going back and forth from Asia to the US. It was kind of frustrated. I couldn't go home for his funeral because all this pandemic thing. But yes, I would prefer being in Taiwan during the pandemic than being in the States, even though I don't feel much like a life difference here. Maybe people would wear masks around, but because I have an American husband and he sometimes share his perspective with me about how he thinks coronavirus, and I wouldn't say it doesn't make any sense. I said it makes some sense that the way he thinks. The way he thinks is coronavirus is a virus that it's in the air. So all the people are affected already. It's just that if you're healthy, you're not old, you don't have some kind of like disease, then you probably won't have the symptoms and you won't suffer from that.
Right.
So I kind of like believe what he said too, because I think it makes sense. If it's in the air, everybody's, you know, got it already. I don't feel much different here, but I still would rather be with my family just because I worry about them. And there's some stuff that happens between this pandemic make me feel like I'm left out.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I definitely understand where you're coming from, because I mean, I'm happy to be in Taiwan. Definitely wish I was back home in America just to have more time with family. But again, I can, like, working from home, it like I talked about on my previous podcast, those of you guys are tuning in, it's definitely a lot to take in. It's survivor's guilt. It's being able to live a normal lifestyle here in Taiwan. My family has to go through all these protocols to keep one another safe. It's not being able to be back home when they have so much family time and being kind of away from that. It's not worrying about having to leave Taiwan and quarantining for 14 days in America and then having to come back and quarantine for 14 days. And that in and of itself just being 1 month of being back home and not getting paid for that time and being away from my business and being away from family and friends. And like hotels aren't cheap. Even though you're quarantined, you have to pay for a hotel. Like it's a lot of things to think about. And it's just like, man, being so far away from home, it's like, I would love to go back, but number one, it costs a lot.
Quarantine.
Yeah. It costs a lot.
But losing the money to be away from work, it's the most concerned things I have, because I don't want to, you know, same here. I don't want
to lose that. Because, I mean, you have to think about it. It's It's 14 days there and back, so it's 28 days, yeah. And that's not including the time
you want to. And then you fly one day.
Yeah, and you fly, but it's basically a month of time. You're just in, you're idle. You're in a hotel by yourself, and some jobs don't afford you that amount of time off. Most jobs aren't going to pay you for that amount of time off. So it's like it's a lot to think about and a lot to take on. And again, like I talked about in my previous podcast, you guys haven't checked it out, check it out. It's come to a point where you're just going to have to, I'm going to choose home regardless what the risks are. And because I'm going to want to be around my family. And it's just understanding what those risks are is, it just caused a lot of stress and anxiety and all that because you understand what you're doing. But as we know, people will do anything, especially me, will do anything for family. So, but yeah, it's interesting to hear about, because again, in Taiwan here, sounds weird because I am American. In Taiwan here, we hear about things in America, but we don't really get, you know, the firsthand perspective oftentimes unless you call and you talk to someone. So it's definitely good to hear about, you know, you working from home and like also you being Taiwanese and being from a country where they've handled it very, very well. And then being able to share with your husband and talk to your husband about your differentiating perspectives, his perspective and yours is also quite interesting as well. Because I'm sure he thinks differently to you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he thinks way differently. In the beginning, I was talking about, because I got news from my family and my mom's like, hey, there's a new thing, Wuhan virus, blah, 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 blah. You know, you have to be careful, da, 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 da. And I told my husband that, and my husband's like, I don't think it's a big deal. It's like a flu, da, 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 da. And I was like, but I think I should be careful. So I started wearing masks to the office. And there are people look at me like, why are you wearing? They even make fun of me. For real. They make fun of me. Like, is it because you're Asian, so you're wearing a mask?
Oh, I see.
And I was like, because I want to protect myself. That's why I'm wearing a mask. And they even asked me, are you sick? That's why you're wearing a mask. It's a lot of it. Like, I wouldn't say, they're ignorant. Maybe they're ignorant, or maybe they're insensitive about this kind of information, or maybe they don't grow up in that kind of environment. Because in Taiwan, we grow up with wearing masks whenever we're sick. We protect ourselves and we protect other people too. They're not used to that. So in the beginning, my coworkers actually make fun of me and joke around and, you know, thinking I'm way too serious about this situation. But in the end, it proves me that I was right and proved them that I was right. They came back to me and asked where I got the mask, where I got hand sanitizers, because there was a chaos about like the hand sanitizers shortage and mask shortage and all this bleach. I don't understand why people buy toilet paper so much.
Man, all the toilet paper was gone. I still don't get that.
Yeah.
Man, even in Taiwan, they started snatching up toilet paper.
Why toilet paper, though? It was crazy. Of all the things.
It's a million trees outside. I better go grab them leaves.
Yeah.
And make it work.
Even now, if you go to Target, it's like all the bleach or cleansers are gone. I can't find the one I always buy because people.
That's because people are watching The Walking Dead too much, and they think that bleach kills everything. It kills germs, yes, but it don't kill everything. And you can't bleach everything. You go around bleaching your clothes, you end up with white, yellow stains on your clothes.
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, I don't understand this. And as a Taiwanese, I was very proud and I was very happy that I'm still a Taiwanese because my mom was able to use my Taiwanese ID to go to the pharmacy to get my portion of the masks to send it to me.
No, look at that. Shout out to moms. Always looking out. Moms always be looking out. It was always amazing to me how many Americans were just arguing over or even passing judgment on someone else deciding to wear a mask. It's like, I'm trying to keep you safe and you still mad?
We're talking about masks, right? Americans wearing masks is like, not wearing masks. They just use, they use like a regular kind of fabric thing and just tie it over their, you know,
over their face, and it's not, it doesn't have the same protection as a mask. And I've had like that conversation
mafia,
way
like
too many times.
Like a mafia thing. Just cover your face, or you use those fabric one. It's not even medical level. Maybe it's hard to find, or maybe in a financial option that you want to wear just a fabric one. I don't understand. They don't even cover their nose.
Well, I think there was a lot of misinformation about masks. I think there still is out. I think people think that sneezing into your shirt is the same as sneezing into a mask, and that's just not the case. People don't understand the way the fabric is made, and that medical masks are designed specifically for a different level of protection. I think this, again, a lot to do with people in power saying certain things, not going to say who, but or where, or what, but it's just a lot of misinformation was out there. People really devalue the actual medical mask and what the purpose of them are. People think that, oh, I have this covering on my face. It's the same as a mask. No, when you sneeze, you breathe, all those little particles get out. Masks work very differently. And that was just something that the public was just misinformed about in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's true. That which I don't understand. Maybe because how I grew up, I just be like, I don't know what y'all are doing.
Yeah. That's definitely there. But again, I'm definitely glad you and your family, you know, your friends and everyone's been able to be safe and stay safe and remain safe during this pandemic, because a lot of people don't have that option or that opportunity. So I'm just glad that you guys have, you know, maintained safety and, you know, been healthy throughout all these things. So that's really good to hear.
Yay. Thank you. I do have a question for you, though.
Yeah, what's up?
Are you tired of Taiwan yet?
Ha, that's a good question. I have been fortunate enough to take breaks from being in Taiwan through my years here. So I took 8 months off 1 year, went back, and then I took 5 months off 1 year to go back and work to see if I liked America. My goal has always been to live in 6 months in one country, 6 months in the other. So have either whether it's podcasting, or definitely podcasting, and then have a business in one place, be able to go back and forth between two countries just so that I never feel like I'm trapped anywhere. You know what I mean? So to answer your question, I'm tired of Taiwan. No, I love Taiwan. I love everything about it. I love that I'm able to have a normal life amid a pandemic back here. I'm grateful for that, forever grateful for that. So I'm not tired of it. I'll always miss my family, but I'll always miss food. Like, I just want a catfish today, fried catfish, and I couldn't get it. I want my mama's sweet potato pie. I couldn't get it. Like, there are some things that I want that I can't get that I'll always miss about home. But tired of Taiwan? Nah. But missing food and family? Always. That's always a thing.
I'm going to ask you another harsh question.
Mm-hmm.
It's very harsh. I don't agree what they're saying, but I do want to ask this. When I heard that some of the older generation of Taiwanese, or some even younger generation of Taiwanese, I would say they're haters, but they talk about being an American. When you live in Taiwan, that means you are not able to be successful in the States. That's why you come to Taiwan, such a small country.
that's always been a fun. I've heard it as often necessarily directed for me, because like my story and my past, it's also, again, it really depends on the job that you have, right? So for me, I've since my first year, I've been a director. I've not just been a teacher. Like, I've owned a bar, I've had a travel company, and like now I don't even work. Like I'm a resident here, so I've been here for a long time, and I'm not just doing the regular everyday common thing. So I've had a different experience altogether than most, I want to say the majority of people who've come here and work in Taiwan. However, yeah, I think as an expat, I know where that stigma comes from, and I'm just going to be honest. I've heard it most for white foreigners who come here, and I know that that's necessarily a fact, but I don't think it's the same for black foreigners that come here. You know what I mean? That we couldn't make it anywhere else because of the work ethic. And it's something I've heard a few times, that majority of black expats that are in Taiwan, our work ethic is different. We work hard, and it's not something that we've come, like, you know what I mean? So I think it just, we're perceived a little bit differently than our white counterparts who kind of come here. And the biggest part of that is for women. Taiwanese mm-hmm. women don't like black men the way that they like white men. So of course, when white men here see on the internet that, oh, it's easy to get Taiwanese girls or this, that, and the third, the ones that aren't getting women back in America or wherever they're from, white people in general, are of course gonna jump on the bandwagon to come to Taiwan. I know you heard about that guy that
white privilege.
Yeah, exactly. I know you heard about that white guy that was going around videotaping illegally Taiwanese girls, right? And he was posting them and saying Taiwanese girls are easy. So that came from that. That came from that. So a lot of that, right? A lot of that, they come because they couldn't make it in America. It doesn't necessarily come from the work that we do as expats, not just black, but white or whatever. It came from that, from white guys. And I'm be honest, from what I hear, my experience, coming here and thinking Taiwanese women are easy to pick up. And that is because they couldn't get women back in America. So that's why I've heard that the most is, you know, like you said, the white privilege of white guys coming here thinking they can just, come here, play around and mess around.
With.
Exactly. Yeah. And we know, you and I know, there is an element of truth to that before the boom of Facebook, Instagram, and the internet. So when I first came, white was everything, right? It was, they didn't know black people existed, to be honest with you, when I went out sometimes. And they thought, oh, black is dirty. You know, all that stuff that we went through racist-wise when I first came. You know what I mean? But now because of the internet, they're like, you know what? Hip hop comes from the black people and they know how to dance. I like them more than I like, you know? So
I feel great. Like the black culture is like growing, and you know, more people like know about it in Taiwan. I feel great about that.
And for me, being here for so long, and I think I came during the right time when Obama was in office. Shout out to Obese. But I've seen the cultural shift where it's not just, oh, we like your music and we're going to culturally appropriate you. It's more of appreciation for the culture of not just Black Americans, but, of Africans, people from the Caribbean. It's appreciation of these things. And there's more dialogue around what it really means to be Black, no matter where you are, what Black you are, Black African, Black, you know, Black Caribbean or Black American, so, or Black non-American. So, I mean, it's just, it's definitely different. But it's not a hard question. It's a very good question. It's come here because it couldn't make it back home where you are. But no, like, again, I could definitely be employed and have, you know, a great job where I am, me personally. But that definitely came from the white men that did some things that they did, because that's from what I've heard. And the way that they represented it on the internet to many others, and old people picked up on that. They were like, man, y'all here because y'all ain't shit. And you know, I agree. Yeah, people who did that.
All the foreigners, I have more, you know, I have like, you know me. Yeah. I have more like black people friends than I don't think I have any white friend. So I like all the people that I know, they work hard and I try to achieve something in Taiwan, and they're really creative and all this. I was like you and Patrick, perfect simple. Like, I'm so proud of what you guys are doing, and I love the idea of what you guys are doing. It's so, you know, amazing. And yeah, I do agree that's a white privilege thing, that I used to think that way too. And yeah, I didn't want to say white people in the beginning. I want you to answer that question.
Oh no, I mean, like,
that's what exactly I was thinking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, again, like, I want to frame it in a sense of where I've heard that from, right? That, you know, that, and I know, and that was a huge incident where, like, this white guy was going around illegally filming Asian women and then saying they were easy. And then people were like, this guy isn't even attractive when he's going around saying this, like, he's a loser. And then, you know, Taiwan is super small. So when one thing is said about one person from one perspective, it just
spreads.
And that's where I was like, oh, you foreigners only come here because you guys da 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 da. And I'm like,
but they wouldn't say that to a black foreigner in Taiwan. They wouldn't say that to a black foreigner in Taiwan.
No.
To me, it's just like, y'all guys are way, it's very easygoing and it's very easy to be friends with. As the white foreigners in Taiwan make me feel more distant, and they think they're something. Like, they think they're above you. Once upon a time, I met this white guy in the club, and he wanted to dance with me, and I said no. And then he just went like flip the table or something and say, "Who do you think you are? I'm white and I'm from America." And I was like,
"Uh-oh."
It was cracking me up. I was like, "So what? You're white. You're trash." Something like that. It was the white privilege thing that I don't understand in Taiwan.
And I'm like, "You're white and."
And what? Yeah.
And I am Taiwanese where you are. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a bunch of stories we can get into about not just white stuff, black stuff.
We probably can do another episode talking about race.
Hey, when you guys feature me on Girls on the Way, I'm definitely gonna chime in on that one. But are there any other questions that you have?
I think there was two. I think the second one was already harsh enough because he's American, is a foreigner in Taiwan, and people thinking about, oh, because you're in Taiwan, because you can't do anything in the States. I think that was really mean to say that.
Yeah, I wish somebody would say that to my face. Get these hands, get these American hands. Not afraid to pass them things out.
Oh, well, Christine's still listening.
Of course she is. That is the bestie. She ain't been to the bar yet, though. So I ain't fucking with Christine. Oh, my bad.
I'm about to make
this podcast explicit. We said too many curse words. But yeah, so, Christine, come to Taichung, Christine.
In the beginning, I was going to ask, am I allowed to cuss in this? Because I cuss a lot.
Yeah, that's fine. We are live, but I don't think there's any live restrictions. When I publish the podcast, I'll put an E for explicit just so, because on Apple Podcasts, you have to do that. Otherwise, they will take it down. Yeah, I ain't beeping nothing. I'm not even going to edit this, to be honest. I'm going to do a little bit of editing, I'm not going to lie. But thank you so much, Tian, for joining the Black Expat Podcast.
Yeah, it was definitely, oh my God, what's that?
It was definitely more than a pleasure having you on. Again, check out Tian and her host, Boom Kelly X. Did I get it right? Boom Kelly X?
Yes, Boom Kelly X.
Yeah, Boom Kelly X. Boom X Kelly. Oh man, I was close. Boom X Kelly. They are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever podcasts can be found. It's called Girls on the Way. If you don't speak Chinese, it's cool. Tune in anyway. Give them a like, give them a share, give them a follow. Definitely appreciate that. Once again, Tiana is very, very, very thankful for having you on the podcast today. I really appreciate it. Hope to have you on again. Hope to be on your podcast soon as well.
Thank you, old folks.
Thank you guys. Tune in. As always.
Why didn't I hear Patrick?
Patrick's right here. You want to say something to him? I don't know. I'll tell him what you said.
Oh.
He just walked in the room.
I just
want to
say hi.
Oh, Tian says hi, Patrick.
I have him.
Patrick says hi, T. He just closed the bar up and came upstairs.
Oh, cool.
My mom says great podcast, though. Hey, mom. Shout out to you. Hey, mommy.
Hi.
But as again, thank you guys for tuning into the Black Expat Podcast. I'm Carl. Click the only link in the description to become a patron of the Black Expat Podcast. Again, this is my full-time job. Looking forward to the support. Like, subscribe, share this podcast, and also tune into Girls on the Way podcast with Tian and Boom X Kelly. My name is Carl, the Black Expat. Thank you, Tian.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you all the listeners. Thank you to Jeremiah for tuning in, Christine for tuning in, my mother for tuning in, Tim for tuning in, Patrick for chiming in, and Erica for listening. I'm Carl, the Black Expat. We out here.